Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. It's hour two. We're live in Los Angeles. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we're on Fox Sports Radio and right here on FS1. It's great to have you in this hour. Joe Thomas, Hall of Famer, going to be one of the easy Hall of Fame votes. Two great tackles, Joe Thomas and Andrew Whitworth. One's a former great left tackle. The other one's a currently great left tackle for the Rams. Be joining us. Yeah, I'll be very well protected this hour. I'll have a lot of time to throw this hour. Joy Taylor with a haircut.
Yes.
How about that? That's a gutsy decision. For women, getting a haircut, for me, I got one this morning. Who cares? For you guys, you think about it a lot, right?
Yeah, well, I've been kind of joking that I'm going to cut all my hair off for a while now, but I've done this before, like in my lifetime.
You're right.
Just went to the salon. But that was much more of like an impulse. I just like drove to the salon and was like, cut it all off. This one I gave a little more thought to, obviously. We have to, but we both have new looks. I really like the beard.
Well, we'll see. Well, I'm not sure. I saw my boss this morning. I don't know if he loved it.
Doesn't love it?
So there's a big difference between opinion column on this network and Sunday NFL network with all the big shots. It's very
That's
very corporate, whatever.
Yeah, because I think this is a good look.
Well, it's a rebel.
It gives you a little. It does give you a little edge.
Gives me an edge, but on that show, it's very everybody. I wear a tie.
Yeah,
everybody
you don't wear ties.
Everybody gets serious.
That's fair.
Yeah, so we'll see. I have a big meeting or something. All right, before we get to Joe Thomas, it's Herd Hierarchy. I've watched all the camp news. I've watched the injuries, and I've made some tweaks. By the way, I think there's a lot of good teams in the NFL. There's three teams I left out of this that I think could be in it by week two. But there's been some injuries, I have to see. So this is mostly what I kind of know are the top 10 teams. In 2 weeks, there's three teams I like a lot that aren't here that could possibly be in here. So here we go. Number 10.
Herd Hierarchy.
Yeah.
Time is now. Let's go.
The top 10 NFL teams according to Colin. Number 10.
L.A. Rams. Sean McVay. Let's not go crazy here. The fewest games he's ever won is 9. A year ago, we said he was the next Belichick. They're bringing back Sean McVay, Jared Goff, a lot of the same pieces. They've also, by the way, the star of the camp has been rookie wide receiver Van Jefferson, and they're already loaded at receiver. Cam Akers, by the way, has also had a great camp, replacing Todd Gurley. Joy and I said this last year. I thought it was addition by subtraction. I thought Gurley, eggshells. I thought the whole organization was walking on eggshells with Todd Gurley. I don't think it was a great locker room last year. Let's just not sell our stock. McVay is a great coach. This roster still has the best defensive tackle in football. Jalen Ramsey, star receivers, Rams 10.
Number 9.
Green Bay. I like Green Bay because I do think linebacking core, back end of their defense is more formidable. I think their division is easier. Now, here's the bad news. Davante Adams led this team in catches last year, receiving yards, and he missed a month. They don't really have a second guy in the perimeter that you can trust. And also Aaron Rodgers last 3 years, Pro Football Focus has been brutally honest, has not been the same quarterback. But I think their back end of their defense is formidable. I think they have a chance to win their division. I don't think the Rams do, so the Packers at 9.
Number 8.
Coin flip, I'll go with Minnesota because I like their overall roster better. Stephon Diggs, losing him hurts, but they have Adam Thielen, good tight ends, Delvin Cook. I don't think they're a Super Bowl team. And I said that about Green Bay last year. I thought they were a 9-7 team that got to 13-3. They got blown out by the Niners in the NFC Championship. Kirk Cousins is 6-29 in the regular season against winning teams. We got a book on him. He's a good quarterback. He's got a real low ceiling. He gets tight in big games. I like their coach, Mike Zimmer, although I think he's a bit conservative for my taste. This is a very well-run, smartly built, great GM, really good organization. I just think they have a ceiling. Them and the Packers, to me, is a coin flip. I like the Vikings roster more, but Aaron Rodgers is special.
Number 7.
Seattle. They gave up 381 yards a game last year. That was the worst in the Pete Carroll era. Now, they went and got Jamal Adams, who is a playmaker, and they got Quentin Dunbar, trade with Washington. So the secondary will be better. There is no question. They will be better on the back end. They still have Bobby Wagner. They have Russell Wilson. My issues with Seattle, I've got them lower than a lot of people. It's a tough division. I do not like their offensive line, and their defensive line is one of the worst in the NFL. I think they've upgraded on the back end. And Jamal Adams will play linebacker as much as he does safety. So they've got three unbelievable players. Russell Wilson, Bobby Wagner, Jamal Adams, but too many holes on the line only at 7.
Number 6.
Philadelphia. Fewer holes than Seattle without perhaps having three superstar players. They're one of four teams in the NFL that's made the playoffs each of the last 3 years. And that's with a ton of injuries at wide receiver, a ton of injuries at quarterback, a ton of injuries in the secondary. They added Darius Slay, who I think is a top three corner in the NFL. They went and drafted a wide receiver in the first round, and they can't possibly be as injury riddled as last year. It's not possible. I also think it's a pretty drab division, whereas Seattle's got two games against the Niners, two against the Rams. Eagles get the Giants twice and Washington twice. That feels 4-0 to me. Eagles at 6.
Number 5.
Tampa Bay. Listen, this team with 40 turnovers was 7-7 through 14 games last year. Brady's here. Gronk's here. Shady McCoy. Leonard Fournette. Tristan Wirfs, right tackle. They have made massive upgrades. Also, it's Bruce Arians' second year. It's Todd Bowles' second year. Don't overthink the room here, all these critics of Brady. Folks, they made massive personnel changes. It's the second year with a coach and a very smart defensive coordinator, Tampa Bay at 5.
Number 4.
Saints are a Super Bowl team. I always say my final four should be Super Bowl favorites. Added two really smart veterans, Malcolm Jenkins, the safety, and Emmanuel Sanders, to a Super Bowl-level roster. So they added maturity. Why does that matter? Because we didn't have a preseason. We didn't have OTAs. Smart veteran playmakers, Malcolm Jenkins, Emmanuel Sanders, to a great roster, ready to perform game one, Saints 4.
Number 3.
49ers, don't outthink the room. They led the Chiefs for three quarters. They outplayed Kansas City for three quarters. Best young coach in football. Garoppolo's 21-5 as a starter. Can we stop banging on Jimmy Garoppolo? Good God, he was 21-5. As good as Kyle Shanahan was, he couldn't win until Garoppolo got healthy.
Number 2.
Kansas City returns 18 of 22 starters. I don't think they've come close to hitting their peak. You know, even Patrick Mahomes was 11th in completion percentage and 7th in passer rating. I don't think he's close to his ceiling. They're only going to get better. And Andy Reid made a great point this week. He goes, you know, a lot of times teams win Super Bowls and they get flashy and crazy and they party too much. He goes, we couldn't. There's a pandemic. We couldn't go out. So we just kept our head down and coached football and played football and practiced football. Love the Chiefs.
Number 1.
Baltimore, I have them at 16-0. I don't. It's really funny about this. This whole Lamar thing. Lamar Jackson. What do you need to see? He was better at the end of last year than the beginning. They're fine. They've added Calais Campbell on the defensive front. The Earl Thomas loss, I don't think hurts much because I think their corners are great and their pass rush is better. There's nothing I don't like about this team. I like their work ethic. I like their front office. I love their coach. I like the way the coach and the quarterback embrace each other. And I love that Lamar Jackson's got a total chip on his shoulder. I love it. He just, every offseason, he's like, yeah, I listen to my critics. I got to get better. And he does. He's got to play better from behind. That's a real thing. But I think the Ravens have a chance to go 16-0, and that sounds ridiculous. But I think in a season where we've got no preseason, these veteran teams or these teams with returning quarterbacks and coaching stars will do very well. All right. Now, I don't have Cleveland in. I have them 11. I don't have Denver in. I have them 12. I don't have Buffalo in. I have them 13. Again, I don't know what Stefanski looks like as a head coach. Just give me a week. So I have Cleveland 11. Denver lost their right tackle, so now I don't like Denver at either tackle spot. I love the rest of their roster, but I can't go with a team in the top 10 who's going to – they're struggling already at left tackle. Now they lost their right tackle with a young quarterback. And Buffalo, I think they coach the hell out of that team, but Josh Allen scares me. And with that, one of the great left tackles in the history of football, 11 NFL seasons and 11 Pro Bowls. Yeah, he was good day one, is Joe Thomas, NFL Network analyst, joining us now via the Coward Global Satellite Network. All right, so let's just get to this. I do think Cleveland's going to be a playoff team. I think they're going to win 9 games. I don't know what they're going to look like in September, so you tell me, what are you hearing? What are you seeing, Joe, from the Browns at camp?
Well, this year it's all about managing expectations, as you talked about. Last year, they came in with some high expectations, the Browns players and coaches, and even the front office wanted to talk about how great things were going to be. And obviously, it didn't exactly turn out the way everybody had hoped and expected in Cleveland. And so this year, it's all about managing expectations. Don't go in and give anybody the impression that you're going to blow the world away, especially with this pandemic shortened season, the pandemic shortened offseason, a new head coach, new offensive coordinator. So I think right now the Browns are going to be better than people expect, but the big thing for them will just be to kind of go in and try to sneak up on some people, especially early on in the season.
So it's interesting. In Chicago, they've named Mitch Trubisky the starter, and the GM and the coach, they're just laying praise on Mitch Trubisky. And we've already seen 42 starts. You can fool the media. You can fool fans. It is hard to fool players. Do you believe Bear players think Mitch Trubisky can take them to a special place?
The Bear players will not believe that Mitch Trubisky is going to take them to that special place, that Super Bowl, until he can show it on the field. You know, when you look at his career, he's had a few good games here and there, but he hasn't been able to put it together consistently. And if you want to be able to lead a team and you want to be able to stand in that huddle and convince people that what you're going to call right now when it's third and 10 and you need a play is something that he is going to be able to deliver on, you got to be able to do that consistently. And if you want to take your team to the playoffs, if you want to take your team to the Super Bowl as a quarterback, you got to be able to do it week in and week out. And so far, Mitch Trubisky has not been able to do that. And it didn't help at all last season when he kind of dealt with some of the things in the media where he seemed like mentally he was a little bit taken aback by what people were saying about him outside the building, where he was turning TVs off in their facility. And so those are all things that players on that roster are going to think about and they're going to wonder about until Mitch is able to do it consistently on that field.
You know, it's interesting. So when you go to camp, and I've asked players this many times, you were great right out of the chute at left tackle. But now, not everybody is. But generally, players can watch the draftees. And you can tell by about five or six practices, okay, we missed on this guy, or this guy's really special. Should it be concerning that Jordan Love, first-round pick for the Packers, they moved up to get him, is not even the backup? He's third. He's behind a guy that was undrafted. Does that tell you that, I mean, what are Green Bay players thinking when Jordan Love, we could have gone out and gotten a starter, he's third on the depth chart? What do you think Packer players think? Does that mean anything?
I guarantee they're scratching their head going, why would we waste an opportunity to give Aaron Rodgers a weapon so that we can win right now for a guy that we're going to draft in the first round, and then he's not even going to be the second string quarterback? To me, if I'm in that room, I'm expecting the head coach to address the team and talk about it, right? Because everybody certainly would expect that your number one quarterback pick from this year would be the backup at a very minimum. And when he's not, everybody's going to kind of wonder and say, well, why not? And if you're a head coach and you have to address why your quarterback that you took in the first round is not the backup quarterback, then there's definitely some questions. And there's a lot of people kind of scratching their head thinking, well, maybe we should be playing for this year and not playing for the future, because we got a pretty good guy at quarterback right now in Aaron Rodgers who did pretty well for us last season. So I think it just adds a little bit of a question mark. And some of the players in that locker room are probably maybe starting to wonder what the front office is doing, yeah, what they were thinking. Because when you're looking at Jordan Love, you're saying, why wouldn't he be number two, right? If Aaron Rodgers got dinged up for a couple weeks, you'd want to give him that valuable experience. If for some reason Aaron was going to be out most of the season, you're not going to have a better opportunity with Tim Boyle as the backup in there than you would with Jordan Love. And you're just wasting an opportunity to give Jordan Love some experience for the future, which is why you drafted him in the first place, for the future. So it really doesn't jive with what they were trying to tell us about why they picked him in the first place, now that he's not even the backup quarterback going into the season.
You know, it's interesting. Kansas City, Joe Thomas joining us. Kansas City, Andy Reid made a great point yesterday. He said, you know, a lot of teams get to a Super Bowl and then they party. He goes, we couldn't party because of the pandemic. And if you think about it, Joe, because the economy closed down, there weren't a lot of endorsements thrown at players. And if you really look at last year, had Miami not beaten New England in week 17, they would have been a 3 seed. They would have been in the wild card round. Is that my takeaway on Kansas City is they really aren't close to where I think they'll get. They didn't play particularly well in the playoffs. They trailed Tennessee. They trailed Houston. They trailed San Francisco. Like, I don't see a step back for Kansas City. Do you worry that they were Mahomes won so fast, he got the ring so fast, that there is this natural letdown?
Well, I think there's always going to be a letdown when you're a Super Bowl winner, because you've reached the pinnacle of everybody's career, of everything that you've always wanted since you started playing football. But I think the great thing with Kansas City is Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, they're very stable and steady personalities, right? Andy Reid wants you to believe that there would have been all this partying if it wouldn't been for the pandemic. But Andy Reid is just the same guy every single day. That's what the players love about him. That's what the fans love about him. Everybody that's ever worked for him loves him, because he treats every day the same and he treats every player exactly the same. So whether they win the Super Bowl or they don't even go to the playoffs, I feel like the offseason for Andy Reid and his team is going to feel very, very similar. He doesn't ride the roller coaster like a lot of coaches, but that's what makes him great. And so I think, you know, there's a potential to have a little bit of a letdown. But for the most part, when you've got Andy Reid and you've got a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes, who I think they both understand, hey, we did win the Super Bowl, but that doesn't mean we don't have anything to work on. The reports out of Kansas City was they had a really good competitive camp. There wasn't guys that were, you know, resting on their laurels, just kind of reflecting on the greatness of winning the Super Bowl. And so I think that'll really play really well for them this season. But in addition, I think this is a season where if you have an offense that have experience being in that offense with the same players, the same scheme, the same coaching staff, that's going to be an enormous advantage because of the limited offseason that a lot of these teams have had. And so being in that Andy Reid offense for Patrick Mahomes now year three, I think is going to be a tremendous advantage. And you're going to see that especially early on in the season.
So I don't like New England or the Raiders this year. Many do. And they both really struggled in the last 7 to 8 weeks. I think it's very difficult to be a bad football team, have no OTAs and no preseason, and just flip a switch. I think in football, those bad teams need to have an OTA, a preseason, get the bad vibes out, get some new personnel in. I don't like New England. I don't like the Raiders because of that. In your career, does it matter how you finish the previous year, the last 6-7 weeks?
I think it does matter. And we talked about it when I was a rookie. We were going into the last week of the season, and we really had nothing on the line because we needed the Tennessee Titans to lose in order for us to get into the playoffs. But we still played hard, and Romeo Crennel was our head coach at the time, and he gave a very passionate and what I agree with what he had to say, argument in that game. And he said, how you finish is the momentum that you're going to carry through the offseason. Whether we make the playoffs or not has nothing to do with what we do in week 17. But if we play well, we'll be able to build on that confidence from this week through the offseason, and we'll have a building block right there. Because if you go into the offseason with a letdown, if you go into the offseason sliding towards the end of the season, there's going to be a lot of question marks about, are we the team that started the season, or did people figure us out and maybe we weren't as good as we thought we were from earlier on in the season? So if you're a team that kind of backs into the playoffs and then maybe loses right off the bat, you're going to have a lot of question marks, and there's going to be a lot of wondering about maybe who you really are in the offseason. And without OTAs, with no preseason games, with limited training camp, you really have no opportunity to kind of prove to yourself and to build that confidence back up that, you know what, maybe we are a really good team. We are the team that showed up much better earlier on in the season, and that a blip on the radar at the end of the season was not who we are. So certainly I definitely buy into that. But I think with New England specifically, like, they've got a lot of question marks on offense for the first time in a long time. And with a new quarterback working with a new system, potentially, it's going to be a big learning curve, I think, for those guys in New England. And there's going to be some pointing fingers, I feel like, when things don't go as well as they're used to.
Yeah, at Joe Thomas 73 on Twitter's got the Tomahawk podcast with Andrew Hawkins, former NFL player. Good dude, Joe Thomas. See, we like Cleveland, folks. We bring Cleveland people on all the time. We even say nice stuff about Cleveland right now.
There you go.
Good talking to you, bud.
Thanks, Colin.
You bet. Joe Thomas, one of the all-time good guys, and segued really nicely into a post-football career. Happy, trimmed down, has his own podcast, doing well. Andrew Whitworth, another great left tackle, joined us in about 20 minutes. A joy around the corner with Herdline News. And some Russell Westbrook thoughts as the Lakers and the Rockets get ready to play again tonight.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Fox NFL Sunday is back this week with a great slate of early games. Then it's a blockbuster in America's Game of the Week as Brady and the new-look Bucks take on Breeze and the Saints. Check local listings for the games in your area or watch it on the Fox Sports app.
Very strange. Usually August, we have no NBA.
Right.
And we talk all NFL. I always put August 1st down on my calendar as a sports talk show host. I go NFL. We spent most of this month talking NBA last month. We didn't have NFL preseason. So it's here. The football season's here. It's glorious. But I think most of us are creatures of habits, and our habits have been turned upside down. So people are not quite ready to embrace the football season. Tom Brady debuts for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Sunday.
It's crazy.
And Cam Newton plays for the Patriots.
It's crazy. It's here.
I'm a creature of habit. Same breakfast, same lunch mostly. And August is on the lake, and I get it off, and I watch football, and we start talking about it. We didn't talk a ton of football in August. It is officially here, starts Thursday. By the way, new rule in sports. That if you constantly, as an athlete, tell me that you don't care about the critics, you actually care about the critics more. Russell Westbrook's not my favorite player, but I don't like to beat up on him. But this postseason, he's shooting 28% on jumpers, 16% on three-pointers. Most remarkably, 46% at the free throw line. That's not because he forgot how to shoot free throws. That's in his head. He's not my favorite player. But Kevin Durant too often talks about how he doesn't care about the critics, and we found out he had a Twitter burner account. And Aaron Rodgers always tells us he doesn't care about the critics, but why is he always talking about him? And Westbrook has spent a career dismissing the media as irrelevant, and he doesn't hear it. Then why is he shooting 46% from the free throw line? That's in his head. He hears the critics. I actually have sympathy for him. I don't like to see great athletes struggle. But a new rule in sports, when you put on the Captain America shield and puff out your chest and say, you guys are irrelevant, I don't ever read any of it. Yeah, you do. You probably are making a point that's pretty less than subtle that you hear almost all of it. Russell right now, the game is in his head, and he hears the critics chirping, and he knows he's unraveled before. Do I think he plays better tonight? Absolutely. He's inconsistent, but he's not bad. He's great. He's just wildly inconsistent in the playoffs. Here's Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Lots of deals getting done right now. DeAndre Hopkins and the Cardinals have agreed to a contract extension. It's reportedly a two-year extension worth $54.5 million. The deal amounts to $27.25 million in new money per year in 2023 and 2024. And it includes a $42.75 million guarantee at signing.
Well, this is why he wanted an extension and Houston wasn't going to give him one. So this is they're going to be an interesting team. But, boy, you got to play the Niners twice, the Seahawks twice, the Rams twice. There are just take away the players for a second. Pete Carroll, Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan are six of your games, and you're Cliff Kingsbury. I mean, it's reasonable to say they're going to get outcoached at least six times. I mean, you're talking about three of the best coaches in the football. DeAndre Hopkins isn't putting game plans together.
But I don't hate this deal because they got him knowing that they had to pay him.
Yes.
And he is a top receiver in the league, and you want to give your young quarterback back weapons, reliable weapons. Last year, he had 104 receptions, a little over 1,000 receiving yards, 7 touchdowns. Their top two wide receivers in 2019 were Larry Fitzgerald and Christian Kirk. 75 receptions, 804 yards, 4 touchdowns for Larry Fitzgerald. 68 receptions, 709 yards, and 3 touchdowns for Christian Kirk. So this is a number one receiver, and he needed to get paid. So he had 3 years left on his original contract, so the extension pushes the total value to $94 million over 5 years. It does sound like a lot, and you are right, but you got to pay somebody.
Yeah.
And I don't hate that it's DeAndre Hopkins. He deserved the money, and like I said, you want to give your young quarterback pieces, reliable pieces. You know what DeAndre Hopkins is, and it just shores up your receiving core, so that part of your team is taken care of. So the Jets aren't projected to be a top team this season, and GM Joe Douglas is very aware that most don't believe his team will be very good in 2020. He said, our guys don't live in a bubble. We see the things that are said. We see the things that are written. You know, it angers a lot of people.
I think that helps for about a half. And then it comes down to your players and coaches.
Yeah, the whole, yeah, I'm with you. I'm not into the rah-rah, everybody doesn't like us thing. That works for the Patriots, but the Patriots are a dynasty, so.
I will say this. In the first 2 weeks, you know, they play Buffalo's defense. If the offensive line is better, because they really committed to it. They went and drafted a left tackle. They went and paid for a right tackle. If the offensive line is better, then they're going to be a fun team to watch. But it all starts there because they're not good enough elsewhere to overcome that. I'll watch them in the first 2 weeks. If Darnold has, and he didn't last year, if they figured out the tackle position, at least I can go, they could go on a winning streak, a team possible of winning three or four straight. Because last year at the end, the protection was bad. The receivers were bad. And
well,
it was,
also Sam Darnold was sick. So we pretty much knew that the season was done when he was out for a couple weeks with mono. They're not going to have that this year. You said that they're going to go 6-10.
I don't think they lost C.J. Mosley and Jamal Adams, and they don't have a number one receiver. I think in this league, you can't lose players like that.
No, my thing with the Jets is this. I like Sam Darnold. I don't love him as much as you do, but I like Sam Darnold. I'd like to see the Jets be competitive. I was a Jets fan for one whole year, and it was wonderful. They're a fun team when they're competitive.
Yeah.
My question is this. I don't think that Adam Gase is the guy there. We do this all the time with players, right? Like, one player can't get along with any coach. And it's like, after a while, we're like, okay, it's the player. How many stars can you not get along with? Well, after a while, it's like, okay.
Even ask yourself this. So Le'Veon Bell, Jamal Adams. Even ask yourself this. C.J. Mosley opt out. Is it possible we don't know that, but maybe Adam Gase and Mosley aren't tight? Like, C.J. Mosley got a big check. I haven't seen him play more than a game yet. So do we know that relationship's great?
I don't know. I just think that it's look, anytime anyone is doubting you or saying that you're not good, of course, that's going to put a little fire in you, right? These guys are still professionals. They're still, right, you know, in the top 1% of what they do in the entire world. But I just don't know if all the pieces that are there are going to work. And I don't know if Gase is the guy to put them together.
I don't know
if that's crazy to say that. What have we seen from you in the last couple of years that would steer us to feel any other way than that? It's a little bit Cleveland-like. Like, okay, made a lot of moves. Go out there and play and show us.
Yeah.
You have the opportunity to do that. So Cam Newton and Bill Belichick they seem to have no problems at all building their new relationship. Cam recently said it was a match made in heaven with the Patriots. And Belichick also continues to praise his new quarterback.
He's come in and done everything we've asked him to do. He works hard. He's obviously a very talented player. And looking forward to continue to work with him. So, you know, we'll just take it day by day. But, you know, he's given us everything he's had. And, you know, we've tried to put the team in the best position we can competitively.
Yeah, not much time for him. He's had how many practices? This is a rough 8 guys opt out.
No, it's a tough situation for Cam.
Brutal.
We're not looking at the situation as a permanent situation for Cam, right? For me, it's all about what Belichick says. I respect Belichick too much to assume that this is not all pre-planned, right? This is all just a big masterful.
I totally agree.
You know, it's like you were watching Bob Ross do the paintings and it's not together until he puts the little final highlights on it and you step back and then you see the masterpiece. It's kind of what's happening here. Belichick never said anything nice about Tom Brady, like ever in his whole career.
Now he loves Cam.
You might be able to go out there and find one or two clips here and there. I remember us being in shock that he gave the team ball. It was so awkward. And now Cam, it's a match made in heaven and he's done everything he asked. It's like maybe Brady actually just needs to be coached and treated that way. Is that what it is? Because it seems like that Brady got tired of that after a while. So I don't understand.
It's
very weird,
get
right?
Over Cam Newton in a Patriot uniform.
I know. This if 2020 it doesn't
even
get weirder. It's Cam Newton in a Patriots uniform. Tom Brady is playing for another team of all teams, the Buccaneers, and the NFL starts on Sunday. And the NBA is playing.
Crazy. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
By the way, if you didn't see my herd hierarchy, I'll give it to you sometime either late this hour or start of next hour to check it out. Our top 10 NFL teams going into the season. Andrew Whitworth of the Rams, left tackle. Apparently, their two draft picks, Van Jefferson, the wide receiver, and Cam Akers, have been spectacular, especially the receiver in camp. They've already got a great receiving core, Josh Reynolds, Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods. They drafted another kid, and they have good tight ends. So offensively, I think the Rams are going to score points. It's beyond Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey. What do we got on the back end of the defense? Can they generate a consistent pass rush? We'll find out that coming up next. Going to the grocery store is on everybody's to-do list, but some people have – I've actually cut back on that. I used to be a big grocery store person. But with the pandemic, it's one of those places indoors. I just don't go as much as I used to. What's the point? By the way, I wear a mask. It's not like I like it. This beard has made it even worse. Masks and beards are not great together.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
He played 99% of the snaps last year, more than any Rams player. 15th year in the NFL, going to get a lot of Hall of Fame votes. I'd vote him in. Four-time Pro Bowler, one of our favorite guests, the left tackle for the Rams, Andrew Whitworth, who is now joining us via the Coward Global Satellite Network. You know, it's funny. Now you got old Sean McVay. A couple of years ago, you had the kid, the whiz kid. And now you got a couple of years under McVay. Somebody told me this year his personality, he shifted a little bit in some experiential things at camp, that he's got a little more of a social life, blah, blah, blah. Do you notice a little difference in Sean McVay now that you're with him for 3 years?
You know, I keep joking with him. He's going to start having some of these grays I got the way it's going. You know, as you get that experience and the stress of being an NFL head coach, man, it's a lot. And, yeah, I really think he's done a great job of just adapting to being that head coach. And now he's got 3 years into it and really is kind of finding his groove and what makes him happy and drives him to continue to be in this profession. So I think you're continuing to see that growth in him, not necessarily as a coach, but also just as a man and a person who's in charge of obviously a huge organization.
You know, it's interesting. He doesn't believe in playing starters much in preseason, so it's not a huge change for you. I mean, do you feel like this morning you're kind of in the same shape you were a year ago? Do you potentially don't feel a great deal of difference?
Yeah, I would say really one thing that does play into our favor with the Rams organization is that this is kind of how we've handled the preseason the last 3 years. We've kind of had a schedule that involved really the starters not playing in the preseason, so we've kind of been prepared that way. We've kind of always had our schedule, the kind of scrimmages and different things right before the preseason games and then allowing the other players to play in the preseason game. So this really hasn't changed much of our preparation and how we really prepared for the last few years since we've been with Coach McVay.
So last year it was Todd Gurley. It felt a little bit like a walking on eggshell situation. You go out and draft Cam Akers. According to various reports, he could start week one. He's been very good. I know everybody, we could never quite get a straight answer last year, but it did feel like with Gurley, it was nobody quite knew, should he play, should he not? There's an injury. Cam Akers, the report is he's ready to go. He's really good. And do you kind of sense this team will go back to more power running this year?
Yeah, I really think you look at it with Cam and the ability he's been able to come in and as a young back and understand his role and his job and all the things we do offensively. I think he's done a tremendous job, and what a great example he's had in a guy like Malcolm Brown, who is still here with us, who's just one of those guys that just does everything right. I mean, he's just one of those people that everything he does and the way he goes about his job is the right way. And so Cam has a great guy to kind of look to and learn from and just go through that process with. And so I think that's going to help him out tremendously because he obviously has the physical talent to be a really special back.
So you play the Cowboys in week one. You're going to go up against Everson Griffin, some Aldon Smith. So when you look at film, they've got some new pieces defensively. What does Dallas do to try to make things difficult to a left tackle and an offensive line? What will I see in the trenches this week?
Well, I would think that you're going to see some of a little bit of maybe the old Saints defense with Mike Nolan coming from there and having been helping there. And then also some of the things he used to do back when he was a signal caller before. And so I think that you're going to get a little mixture of that. You don't fully know what they'll play or what they'll decide to do. But with those two guys, you're looking at a guy in Everson who's been a tremendous rusher for a long time and always been a tone setter, a guy who plays extremely hard. And then Alden Smith, you know, I had to dig all the way back, Colin, all the 2011, 12, 13 to find some Alden Smith tape. And you know what, a guy that I've been around, you know, in the off seasons and stuff, and just proud of the change he's made in his life and where he is physically. And man, what a special talent he was. And I would imagine is going to be. So, you know, getting prepared takes a little bit of digging back in the archives for this one.
So Van Jefferson's a wide receiver. According, I'm reading the LA Times, I'm reading all the blogs. They're like, he's been the shock of the camp, which is remarkable because there was no preseason. Talk about the receiving core, Van Jefferson. And are you surprised that the kids come in with no OTAs, no camp, and have flourished?
You know, I think sometimes it's a reflection also of just, you know, they're great talents and they have the ability, but also their room. And much like the running back room, and I said with Malcolm, I mean, you look at the guys that really he's had an opportunity to work around with Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods. I mean, tone setters for us, guys that are, you know what, just the guys that do everything the correct way, that their technique and their fundamentals is flawless. The way they go to work every day is unbelievable. Watching tape of those two blocking downfield is as impressive as their route running. And so I think for Van, it's to come in with a skill set and be around those guys who do it that way and at that level. I think it's helped him tremendously. And man, as he looked good. I mean, I think he's going to be a really effective player for this organization for years to come.
Jared Goff, notice any difference now? He goes into another year. You know, it's funny in the media, everybody kind of buried the Rams, but you were 9-7 with multiple injuries. Jared Goff, have you noticed a difference?
You know, you really have. I think he's just continuing to grow. I don't know so much if it's always just about football in the NFL. You know, it's sometimes about these guys maturing as men and everything else, and that helps them be better football players. And I think for him, it's one of those things. He's really coming into his own, his ownership of the team and really himself and who he wants to be. And I think you just feel that edge, that attitude that, you know what, it's on me and how I perform and the things I do week in and week out will dictate our success level. And I think he's ready to embrace that and has had that kind of edge and attitude to him as we've gone through camp.
Good stuff, Andrew Whitworth, left tackle extraordinaire. Day off, you get a few of those, and have fun, stay healthy, and it's great talking to you.
Hey, you too, as always. Good luck with that beard, too.
Yeah, not much of one, but I do appreciate that. When the check engine light comes on, there's a lot of anxiety. Does not need to be. CarShield.com, code HERD. A deductible may apply. So here's my HERD hierarchy, Joy. This is my top 10 teams in the NFL. Now, Cleveland did not make it. Denver did not make it, and Buffalo did not make it. So they were all really, really close. I don't know if Cleveland, Kevin Stefanski, I've got to see it. Denver's got a tackle issue. Their right tackle opted out. Here's our herd hierarchy. I got Baltimore 1, Kansas City 2, Niners 3. I don't think that's a big surprise. I'll play chalk on that. I would have to see otherwise. I do think New Orleans went out and was really smart and got two. They got one on offense, Emmanuel Sanders, and a veteran on defense, Malcolm Jenkins. Just a couple of smart veterans to put them over the top in the NFC. I think both will flourish. I buy Tampa Bay. Again, they were strong last year despite being an avalanche of turnovers. If nothing else, they'll be significantly more efficient on offense. Maybe they won't be as explosive with Jameis out and Tom in, but they'll be more efficient. I also think Arians and Todd Bowles, excellent coaches, a second year with a lot of young players. The back end is tougher. Again, I like Denver, but when their right tackle opted out, I got Drew Lock with a left tackle I struggle with and a right tackle opted out. I can't put him a top 10 team. I put Philadelphia. They went out and solved their cornerback position with Darius Slay. Seattle at 7. I don't like their O or defensive lines, but you cannot deny that bringing in Jamal Adams, he is a complete playmaker. In fact, not very many teams have three great players better than Russell Wilson, Bobby Wagner, and Jamal Adams. They got holes all over their lines, but not there. Minnesota, Green Bay to me is a coin flip. I think Minnesota's roster is better. They have more depth offensively, but I think Aaron Rodgers, you know, makes up for some of that. So Minnesota, Green Bay, and the Rams at number 10. They've had two rookies who have starred in camp. And again, they've got star players. They've got Jalen Ramsey. They've got Aaron Donald. They have Andrew Whitworth. They have tremendous wide receiver tight end talent. And again, Cleveland, give me 2 weeks. Buffalo, give me a couple weeks. Denver, give me a couple weeks. Joy, what do you make of it?
I would put the Chargers up there right outside of the top 10, probably above Cleveland's and probably above Denver right now. I'm with you on the Bills still. I think I like the Saints a lot more.
Yeah, I get it.
I mean, I don't have a problem with your top three, obviously, but I think that the Saints are a Super Bowl contender this year.
Yeah, I do. So there you go. Loaded as usual. Noom, when it comes, this is a new advertiser, when it comes to reaching my health goals, change your mind and your habits. It's about Noom. Go to Noom, Noom.com/herd. Start today with a free trial. Change your habits with Noom. Hour three next.